Hey guys, welcome back to our Ramen Host Club. I'm your host Mango, and we've got the whole cast today. So introduce yourself, cast.
All right, Anji here, kind of sick, but pulling through. What's up, guys?
She's a
and
trooper.
we got your boy Yami here.
Yeah, so we've got everyone today. Obviously, Andre, if you feel like you need to grab some water or need to take a break, just let us know because I know how bad this cold. Like from the sounds of it, when I talked to you personally like a couple of days ago, it sounds really bad.
Oh yeah, I'm all stocked up. I have all my drinks right here with me.
That's good. Yami, you said that you wanted Angie's put on something, right?
Yeah, well, it's related to the last episode. She was the one who, recommended in the little group chat we have going for interspecies reviewers, and we had just made it a point during the last pod to say that we wanted to at least allow her to say what attracted her to the anime and everything like that in the beginning of this episode. So, go ahead, Anji.
Well, Adam, I'm also intrigued because when Yami and I did that ecchi episode, like a few pods before, even though you were sick that pod also, I felt it was like not up in your alley to talk about ecchi as strongly as me and Yami is. So I definitely want your input on how you think this one is, because this one actually. Both Yami and I agree that it is fairly strong in the edgy department, not like your normal, like, you know, just boobage and panty shots. It's more than that.
Yeah.
Obviously, you've seen it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, my Funimation app wasn't working for me this weekend, so I wasn't able to watch the newest episode, but I did watch the first two. And, excuse me, you know, oddly enough, I'm kind of liking it so far. I like seeing all the different, creatures and mythical creatures and all of that. I do have one hot take for it, but, overall, I find it really entertaining.
What's this hot take?
What was the hot take?
Well, we gotta know the hot take now.
Okay, so I do like the setup, you know, having these guys just going around, like, reviewing these brothel girls and everything. However, I do feel like, how should I put this? I would like the perspective of a main character to be, like, a cisgendered female. Just so that we have a little more variety and we actually have, you know, a woman reviewing, like, the brothel males. I know they kind of explored that in the second episode. Or the third episode, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it was just kind of like, you know, they didn't really review guys. They kind of just did girls as girls. I would like a female character to review, like, the males in the brothels, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, it's funny because I was actually thinking about that when I was watching. I was like, I'm glad they're doing females, but it would be interesting to see a female's perspective on the males. Especially, I think
like
it was... go ahead.
It would be, like, really... Well, I feel like it'd be really empowering, first of all, but also, you know...
Oh,
just because
yeah.
they're essentially reviewing how, you know, good the sex is depending on the brothel, I feel like there's a lot of missed opportunity for phallic sizes, so to say. Because, I mean, you know, they're kind of limiting themselves.
That's true.
In that
respect. That's true. So, So, what do you think about, like, each individual character and who's your favorite one?
Oh, let's see. I like Zell. He's really cute. He's a cute little elf guy. His thing with the older lady is kind of weird, but I'm not gonna judge. That's what he's into.
You already judged him though, because you said it's weird.
Well, okay, I mean it's kind of weird, but the whole show's kind of weird if you think about it.
It's funny because I had mentioned to Yami that Zell definitely reminds me of like a very nasty version and skinny, scrawny version of Link.
Oh,
And
jeez.
because
I
he kind of has
already
that look.
knew that was coming.
Yeah, and even his name is Zell, and I don't know if it like relates to Zelda the game, you
I
know?
feel like
Like.
it is because they're. Do you remember? I'm so bad with this. The second episode, I think, he called one of these guys a Piccolo wannabe.
With the demon
Yeah.
episode, and then he was like, "Oh yeah, get out of here, you Piccolo wannabe."
Yeah. I feel like him, the elf's name being Zell probably wasn't a coincidence.
yeah, I'm gonna put a percentage and say it's about like 85-90% that it was predetermined he was gonna resemble an elfish Link.
And then when, they turned into females, it was even more obvious, that he looked more like Zelda with the longer hair.
I didn't notice that. I did not notice that, but now I have to revisit that episode.
So, I wanted to kind of bring this up, but I'm pretty sure the Zell like name actually came from like some sort of pun or something. I think I saw that somewhere. I can't remember. I
Ooh.
might look it up later, or probably right now all the pod's gone. But like, I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be like some sort of like sexual pun, but I don't remember what it is.
I'll never
But
look at Zelda
yeah,
the same way again.
but yeah, it's like the first I so. You brought up that point about you'd like to see like a cis woman's perspective on it. I kind of agree. Like,
Or at least a gay guy, someone who's gonna review guys, essentially.
it's true. I kind of the thing about Krim being I don't know what you would say Krim is, just hermaphrodite or
Intersex, I think?
intersex, I guess.
Yeah, he's intersex. And last episode I was saying that I was gonna give him the pronouns as them or he she, but I think Krim literally like goes by he. Like, he doesn't complain about it when they call him a guy, so I think it's
I was reading into that, and it said somewhere that he goes by male pronouns because he doesn't want to give the guys the
confused.
wrong idea. Like he wants to avoid them.
So I think it's safe to say that Krim goes by male pronouns.
Yeah, he definitely preferred that from the very first episode. He didn't want the guys to do any funny business. But so like going back to that earlier point though, is like I kind of think that the third episode, which is I think the one where they change genders to females, like they kind of missed that opportunity, I think, to because it would have been kind of funny
It would have been really funny and
it would have been funny
entertaining.
for them to actually like allow themselves to experience it, but they were all like, oh no, there's no way, because their brains are still male, so they couldn't completely like
Except
allow
for
to give in to
Krim.
them.
Krim actually went full out and were like, well, if I can't have a guy, then I'll have like a hyena lady with a big old dingus, and he actually enjoyed it. He gave I think he gave her like a good nine, right? A solid nine.
It was a nine, yeah.
Yeah.
I was
So
thinking for a split second because when I saw where the direction of the episode was going, I was hoping it would be super progressive and they would just try out the guys because they're so hypersexual, But, when they're like, oh, no way, I was like, oh, that's boring, boo.
Yeah, but
That's
I mean,
I
in a
agree.
male's mindset, even if you are a female, you're still a pervert. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're still a pervert toward women's anatomy and not male anatomy.
It was still
So
funny that they were like all scared of being like dominated by most of the girls, so that was still, that kind of made up for it, because
I
I thought
still
that
say the
was really
slime one
funny.
is. I still say the slime one is the best one.
That made me laugh so
I
hard.
like that's just domming with absolutely no consent. Like you just basically tying them up to the floorboard or the headboard to the bed, and you're just whipping them, and he's like, "No mas." He's like saying the key word, and she's ignoring it completely. It just keeps going.
Felt kind of bad for laughing, not gonna lie.
Well, that's great because then we have this we have a woman's perspective on the actual anime. And the thing is, because Yami and I speak so like loosely about, sexual things about anime, it's comforting to hear that it's not offensive to someone who actually watches anime like we do,
Well, in terms of the anime laws, I guess, it's not really, but
I like
yeah.
that anime laws.
Because you
That's
can't
super
apply
cool.
real life logic to anime. It just doesn't work
True.
out.
Someone said something on Facebook about what do you guys think about a guy with multiple wives? And I posted, if it's anime, it's okay.
I mean, I don't want to veer us too off track, but like, I honestly wouldn't oppose like a non-monogamous sort of society. Like, no, I guess I'm a little bit too like far gone on that, but like, I honestly just kind of feel like you should be able to do whatever the hell you want to, except, obviously, like, no pedophile, like, no pedophilia. Any of that kind of crap, or fucking your dog, but
Oh gosh. Oh
consensual
gosh. You
relationship
should
clarify.
clarify.
between two adults, you know what I
Yeah,
mean?
well,
Like,
yeah, and I think that, I mean, with this, I guess with the state that we're living in, there's a lot of that going around. There's a lot of people who are, who are open-minded to having multiple partners, and even like marriage couple, they have open relationships all the time. As long as everyone is in consent of doing it.
Yeah, that's the most important part. But yeah, I mean, I don't think that I mean, this anime is not really touching on something like that, but I was just talking about one of the things about the anime that I like is it kind of sort of normalizes to an extent. I mean, it's done in a very like obviously ridiculous way, and it's really funny, but like it kind of normalizes just like sex in general. Like it's just a thing you do. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, I do like
I
that
feel,
too.
yeah, like it's not a big deal, and you can kind of make it a little bit entertaining and funny. I don't think, I think one of the things that has been harmful, if I would say so, no, we're getting kind of off track, but one of the things that is harmful, I think, especially to kids, who I'm sure in anime like this, people would be like kind of outraged about because they don't want kids to see. But like, the one thing that hurts kids, I feel like, is when you make them feel like sex is something that's like kind of sinful to engage in, or almost like a sacred ritual. And
Yeah.
sex isn't like that at all. It's just a thing that we do as humans, but
Yeah.
It's also refreshing to see that women being sexual in an anime, like let alone, that they're prostitutes essentially, but it's refreshing to see that they're not being like condemned for it or anything. Like,
Yeah.
it's
They're
kind of
not
like
being made out to be like whores,
they're seen as literally valuable in every
Yeah.
sense of the word.
And like in the, like comparable to like prison school, kind of like what you said, Yami, is that, whereas this anime literally just showcases the sex part of it. They're both ecchi animes, but this one literally just is just sex. Whereas in prison school, there's no sex, but there's a lot of lewd content to the degree that it is pretty much like almost hentai, like this one is. And but they don't allude to sex in that anime, like to this degree as what this anime is going about. So yeah, it's very loose. Sex is very loose in this anime compared to how like other animes portray it, such as like Prison School.
True.
Yeah, I just this kind of I was gonna bring this up as well because there was a little bit of controversy. I think Funimation, you brought it up earlier. I think actually removed it from their streaming service simply because of I guess they looked into it and they were like, yeah, we can't have this on there because you know we're probably getting complaints from parents or whatever. I kind of feel like again, it's problematic for a number of reasons. Like, I can understand if you just don't want your kid to stumble upon it, but at the same time, I don't think that it's a big deal. The Funimation one isn't even the uncensored version anyway, so I don't know. I feel like
Yeah.
it's one of those things that's entirely too reactionary for my liking, but you know, I understand. You want to try to make certain kinds of anime have like age restrictions or something like that, but removing it entirely, I have a problem with, but it is what it is.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it's going back to that notion that it's okay to watch anime because you're a kid kind of thing. It's like anime is not for like everyone, and most of the anime that we watch is definitely like you have to be 13 and up to watch it. You know, so there's very few anime out there that is very safe for kids to watch. You know, a lot of them being like very, you know, slice of life moe stuff or like Ghibli movies and stuff like that. But the stuff that Funimation showcases, you kind of have to be aware that if you have kids around the house, they're gonna see stuff that, you know, are gonna be more adult in there, or at least like teens in there. So yeah, it definitely goes back to that mindset. It's like, so taking it out of context or taking it out of the actual server and or like or doing something to it, it kind of does like derail on what is could actually be viewed and how you kind of adjust to it as if you're a parent concerned about your kids watching it. Because if you let your kids watch anime, it better be like something on like four kids or, you know, something on TV and not actually on Funimation.
Yeah, I just my thing is like I totally get wanting to like age restrict it, but to remove it from the platform entirely, I just, you know, obviously I have a problem with that, but it is what it is. People will still find a way to be able to watch it though.
Yeah, no,
I won't name names.
I hear you. That's funny. So from last podcast, we were talking about some different anime that we were reviewing, and I actually picked up on a lot of the ones that I didn't say. Now, I didn't pick up all of them, but I did start watching Invaded, and I started watching Darwin's Game. I started watching Project Runway anime. Smile on the Runway.
Project Runway.
That's what I'm calling it, but
That's
smile
not
down
what
the
it's
runway.
called.
And oh, there's one other one I started watching, and I'm still watching that Toilet Bound. So I started watching all of them, and I'm pretty much caught up with most of them except for Toilet Bound. And I like my choices. I definitely like those animes, so they're definitely good calls. Aizouken. Keep your hands off Aizouken, the one that I really want to watch. I mean, I didn't get a chance to watch it because it is on Crunchyroll, and kind of don't want to go through the commercials, but I don't know. I will pick it up eventually. But yeah, how about
What did
you?
you well, I was going to ask you really quick, what did you think about
Darwin's Game.
Darwin's Game? Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I love it. So far, it's really
Okay.
good. Andre, you don't mind if I spoil a little bit, do you?
Oh no, go ahead.
Yeah, so Darwin's Game, it definitely has a great, like, insane, I guess, story behind it. I kind of felt a little bit confused, like, as soon as after the first episode, like, again, spoiler alert, but where main girl, forgot her name already, but she kind of like starts fawning over the main guy and seeing like pretty much naked on his bed or on the bed. And I'm like, is it gonna be one of those anime where it's gonna have like it's gonna go that route with was it Future Diaries, where you have this crazy hot anime girl and just falling in love with the main guy, and then the story's gonna get very sour and very like not good later down the road, or is it actually gonna maintain a good story? So that's where I'm at right now, and it hasn't ended yet, but because I see so much of Future Diaries in that anime, I'm not going to stray away from the idea that it could potentially suck, you know. Hopefully it doesn't, but in all honesty, so far I love it way more than Future Diaries.
Okay, that's cool. What have you watched recently, Anji?
I started watching Nekopara. And
How do you like it so far?
I like it. It's really cute. It's very different from the game, like, obviously, but they kind of went a semi-wholesome route, which, you know, it's. I don't mind. I mean, I like that, personally. I don't know if you've played the game or not, but
I did.
you did. Yeah,
Yes.
the introduction of the little kitten girl, Kakao, was interesting because I don't remember her being in the game at all. And,
Oh, now that you mention it, you might be.
yeah, well,
Yeah, you might be right.
but I like it, you know? It's cute. The plot's kind of aimless, but you know,
Obviously.
sometimes you just need an anime to kind of just let your brain turn to goo with.
That
That's the
was a
best way I could
squid
put
girl for
it.
me.
I like the way you put that. What else have you watched? Have you watched anything aside from that recently?
Mostly just MHA, which I'm all caught up on, and then Interspecies. That's really the only three I've been watching so far.
Anja, you get into Project Runway anime with me, because I want your opinion on that. I don't know. Have you started watching it at all yet, Yami?
I watched the first episode yesterday, and because I wanted to give it a shot, it's I will have to give it another episode. I didn't quite like get super into it, but I'm gonna give it another episode and kind of see where it goes from there, and maybe I might get more interested in it. But so like the first episode itself was, more like it was a very simple sort of introduction into the plot and everything like that. But I don't know. I want to give it a little bit longer before I give it the thumbs up or down. It
I
didn't
did
hook me initially though.
I did kind of agree with you, and I kind of watched it in dub, but then after I didn't I not like I didn't like the dub, but I felt the emotions were kind of a little bit lackluster, so I switched it to sub, and it sounds a lot better, one.
I watched the sub myself too.
I feel that it kind of touched on a lot of things too early on, where we could have slowly discovered stuff in a sense. Like it felt kind of like a rushed version of the introduction to My Hero in the first three episodes. You know what I mean? Like they
That's how
touched
I
on,
felt too, yeah.
they touched on the problem. They went to this situation. Like it felt very, like step by
It was
step.
very fast.
It was very fast. You didn't get a chance to actually involve yourself in the emotions with some of the things that could have been very emotionally attached. But,
I agree totally with that.
yeah, I think that was my big concern. But I'm still watching it because I'm still interested in how the story goes, because it's not a bad story still. But yeah, I don't want, I hope it doesn't repeat, you know, similar shonens that have done this story better, you know.
It's
Knock on wood.
at least a very different kind of plot though, because of the fact that it's basically about like a girl trying to make it on
as a model, you know, that's
Yeah.
very different than, you know, I'm sure that there have been some in the past that have had the same subject, but like, at least modern times, I don't, I mean, I've don't really recall any off the top of my head, so I want to give it a shot simply because it's a unique plot, but I don't know. It didn't hook me initially, I just gotta be honest. It was a little too fast, I agree.
I agree with you. The hook was definitely missed, but yeah, it's original enough for me to actually continue to see what happens with it.
Yeah, I agree.
But Anji, yeah,
Yeah.
so you got to get on that train too. Project Runway anime or smile down the
Look up
runway.
the actual name.
I think it's Smile Down the Runway, but.
I'll yeah,
Yeah.
I'll check it out. I added it to my queue, but I didn't read about what it was about or anything like that, so.
Gotcha. But long story short, without spoiling anything, it's basically a shonen version of fashion, the fashion industry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Has anyone other than me watched Science Fell in Love? So I tried to prove it. Has
I
anyone?
that was the
No,
ones
but
I
I
wanted to watch, but it's on
yeah.
Crunchyroll again, and I'm like, dang, I feel like I just need to get Crunchyroll, but I got so much money in my account
That sounded really
for it.
good. Like, I really wanted to check
It
that one out.
it's so good, guys. My gosh. It's such a cute anime, and I think both of you would love it, and I really want to talk to you guys about it, so.
Okay, I'll definitely make an effort this week to watch a couple of the episodes.
And I'm not saying anything, but you don't have to get Crunchyroll in order to watch it. Just saying.
Oh, yeah, that I know. I'm afraid because I just got a new laptop and I don't want it to be filled with like unwanted, unnecessary viruses.
Don't worry, I got the hookup. But anyway,
You give me the hookup, technical
yeah,
hookup.
it's everybody out there who maybe has already watched it, maybe you can try to push these guys by I don't know if we have like a way for the audience to like send us messages or anything yet, but like
We got
I
an
wish we could have
email.
polls or something. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so
We'll
seriously,
try
like
to set
what?
that up. That'll be one of our next steps for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Next season, we're gonna get some social medias. Social medias, whatever you
We have
call
a
it.
soundboard soon.
Yeah, I was actually
Ooh.
gonna test it today. Let me see. Let me pull it up. Yeah,
Yeah.
so our wonderful
Our tech
behind this.
guy.
Yeah, our wonderful tech guy behind the scenes.
But yeah, really quick as he's setting that up, like that anime is so good. I would say it's my favorite one of the season so far, actually. Like as much as I like Interspecies, because I mean I laugh every time I watch Interspecies, but
Same.
I really love that anime a lot. I would say it's definitely my anime of the season so far. So like,
High praise.
I really want you guys to watch it because it's so good.
Yeah, I'll definitely check it out because it
Yeah.
sounds really good. I remember when you were talking about it last time, and I was like, ooh, this actually, I would watch that. That sounds good.
It's not on Funimation, to what you guys know
I
so
don't
far.
think so.
No, it's not. I tried
Okay.
checking it out. I think it's only on Crunchyroll. And there's a couple of things on Crunchyroll I want to watch, and that one definitely, and then Keep Your Hands Off Aizoken is another one. That's not on Funimation, but I really want to watch that one.
I actually watched the first episode to Keep Your Hands Off Aizoken, and
Ooh, without spoiling, what did you think?
I thought it was pretty good. It kind of reminds me a little bit of like some of the more old school-ish kind of anime.
Yeah, I love the art to it. It's so cool.
Because of the art, yeah. It kind of reminds me a little bit of like Kill la Kill in terms of like how weird the art is.
Or Beck Mongolian Chop Squad. I don't know if you've ever seen Beck Mongolian Chop Squad, but it reminds me of that very basic, like, palette and simple lines.
I'm not familiar with that one, but
Okay, Audrey, school him on Beck Mongolian Chop Squad.
Grunge music.
That's it.
Grunge music? Is that just, oh.
Greg Ayers being the annoying little runt that he is.
You're not okay.
That there's a cute dog in there.
I there's love your opinions on this.
Just go watch it. It's a really good anime. It's definitely one underrated, but it's a personal like favorite of mine. I love it. I recently watched it, I want to say 3 or 4 months ago, just because I had the feels. All right, so I got the sound thing open, but
I was also going to point out while you're doing that, so another anime that I've been kind of obsessed with that I mentioned on the last episode was Dorohedoro, and I've been reading, like binge reading the manga for the past week. I'm close to like 100 chapters read, because the anime like hooked me and I was so interested in like learning more about the story. The thing that really got me into it though is the opening. Like, it's really unique. I showed Mango the opening. I don't know what he thought of it, but like apparently the opening has a ton of spoilers in it. But like, if you're like me and like most people, if you watch the opening, you're just, oh, this chick's cooking stuff. Big whoop. You know?
Yeah.
She's cooking people, isn't she? I feel that.
You feel that?
Well, it's not that dark. But like, apparently there's a crap load of spoilers. And like, it's funny because, because I'm going through the manga, every once in a while when I watch an episode or like when I have the itch to, you know, watch the opening or hear the opening, because I'm like that, it's like constantly stuck in my head. So I see like something a little bit in the opening that would be considered a spoiler. So it's kind of fun to have like little bits of information kind of feeding that, reinforcement to you, like, oh, okay, now I know what that's referencing to. but yeah, the actual anime, if I don't know how you feel about, like, how should I put it, more grungy anime, I'll put it like that. Uh-huh. But it's definitely a dark story as you get into it.
Yeah, I like dark things, so it sounds interesting.
It's more or less like a horror, mystery, suspense kind of deal. I don't want to spoil too much about it, but essentially, like, the main character's head got turned into, like, a lizard, and he's trying to figure out, like... He's trying to figure out who he is, because all he has is this name that his friend gave him when she found him. And they're trying to basically find out who he really is and his past and everything like that. So it's basically him trying to figure out his past, who he actually is, and how is that sort of ties into the overarching plot.
And it's like it's Jason Bourne kind of thing.
Yeah. A lot more violent. Very violent, and
but he has a lizard head.
Gore.
Yeah, lizard head, and it's a little bit more dark.
Yeah,
not so much espionage.
So I don't know if my description would be anything close to the satisfactory or something you'd be interested in, but I'm just kind of throwing that out there for everybody.
True. Well, I mean, you know, it was a lot better job than me selling Mongolian chop squat.
Oh my god. We're going to have a full, like, you know what? We're going to have a deep dive discussion as soon as Yami finishes Mongolian chop squat. We're going to discuss that anime. So awesome. Or maybe I can just talk about it myself.
That would probably work pretty well.
I'll probably do like a solo episode on it, and it'll be hours
most
long.
4 hour long. Oh So aside from anime, video game wise, I did want to speak about a little bit just because, I got some awesome, cool news with my new Fire Emblem game on my phone. And this past month, we had a whole like voting session, choose your legends session for Fire Emblem Heroes. And you have like 6 days to vote for the hero you want to be included in the game, basically. And I went with Lysithia for all 6 days. She's a character in Three Houses on the Switch. And she got second place. So the top four winners, which was basically all the Three Houses and Lysithia, like won. So we were getting like new character designs and in-game, I guess, mechanics for those characters, and I'm so excited for it. And Lysithia hasn't been in the Fire Emblem Heroes game, so I'm so stoked for her.
I can't speak on that at all because I don't have the game,
You have to get the
but
game. Just get it. Just get the freaking
I'm
game.
not really into gachas. But
It's
related to Fire Emblem, I don't know if you or Anji have really been able to like play with Byleth yet, or if you've even gotten the DLC to get her.
Of
No, not
course.
yet.
Of course I did. I mean, I didn't buy the character pack until like I heard the final character, because I was like, oh, I mean, it's not like I didn't get sold on the other characters. I just wanted to wait till all five of them were revealed. And I'm so happy the last, I'm actually really happy the last one was Byleth. And she is definitely a difficult character to use. She is really difficult. But that being said, she has an amazing kit, and she can punish stupid early. And if you know how to really space your attacks with your opponent and kind of get inside, I guess, your opponent's head on how they're moving their character, she could be really, really good and competitive in a sense that I don't want to say she's like S tier or A tier, but she is pretty high up on a tier. I want to say closer to like Ganondorf, because we all know Ganondorf is like stupid powerful. But I wouldn't say she's kind of like the Fire Emblem's answer to Ganondorf.
So from what I've seen so far, I actually like, 'cause I watch a lot of different Smash Bros. Streamers on Twitch and stuff like that. So like I know MKLeo, who's considered like the best in the Smash Smash Ultimate scene. He's been labbing Byleth a lot, and Byleth is, from what I've seen, a very difficult character, like you said, to actually like develop some combos with and like to be able to understand matchups with. It's a very tricky character because of the fact that it's not as conventional, being able to know how to space and then follow up with different attacks is very difficult. So, and she's got pretty decent recovery as well. So like the offstage game is pretty decent. But like actually when you're in the neutral game and you're like on the platforms, it's a very difficult character to learn. So he was like really trying to lab it, and yeah, I don't think that's a character where he's gonna be able to dominate with like he does with Joker. He's really good with
No,
Joker, but
I haven't really seen his reaction to Byleth, in all honesty. I just started playing Byleth like crazy as soon as she came out. But that's pretty much what I've noticed when I was playing her too, I guess. I guess is what you described, what he said. Yeah, I think like unless you really, really like know her kit, then she like her problem is like she's stupid, stupid slow. And she could get teched real quick or comboed real quick, in definitely competitive gameplay, especially if you have like fast characters like Fox or Pikachu. But like I said before, if you could understand how your opponent is moving and use that as your bane, your advantage, you could definitely like dominate with her like powerful attacks. It's literally all about spacing with this character. That's like, I want to say 98% of the character is spacing and making sure you hit that target, because her hitbox on some, like, her actions is very small. That being said, you know, when you get them in that hitbox, it's damaging. And I could see her character being buffed, definitely, because a lot of people are complaining about her kit. But I think a lot of those people are people who, I don't want to say are, like, well, I guess it's safe to say, but, like, are casual players, in a sense. So they just go in there and smash, you know, and just press buttons and stuff. Or, like, they kind of get the concept, but they don't know the techs or the different techniques you could use to, you know, win competitively. So I think those, a lot of them are people who are like that. And I guess there are a few competitive players that do say that she's not that good, but I also don't see them picking the character up and trying her out too, you know, like as much as, like, let's say MKLeo you mentioned did.
Yeah, I would say it's not going to be one of those characters that you're going to see in a lot of tournaments, honestly.
Not yet, but
no, I don't. But think so.
I know. I mean, like, it's too difficult. That being said, my one of my main Zelda, she got buffed like super big. Oh my god, her hitboxes are huge. Her up B goes a further distance, I believe. Her side B is more powerful. So I'm happy that Zelda got buffed.
I think Anji, you said you hadn't gotten a chance to play with her yet. Is that right?
No, I'm behind on a lot of the DLC stuff for Smash Bros.
Well, I don't even have the game, so.
Okay, so I know.
We're just
yeah, but you watch a lot. So Yami watches a lot of tournaments, and you have played me when I was using Viola. So, what is your reaction to the character on the receiving end?
She's stupid.
No, how? How is she stupid?
She seems cool. She seems kind of technical, but I mean, I'm not the one playing her, so I'm only on the receiving end. But she, her attacks are really strong for seeming like, you know, more of the simple ones, like the arrow beam laser thing that she has.
Yeah, the snipe. Yeah,
I forgot the legendary. That's like an instant like ring out or something.
Literally, like 3-4 shots with that thing, and you're out.
Seriously, it's no joke.
Yeah, she has, I would probably say it's probably the most unique kit of any character in the game. I mean, there are a lot of, you know, interesting characters that have like more like mid to long range sort of kits. Like Link, I would compare her to a bit. I think Link's probably a little bit better in close range, like close combat, but it's like similar in that like you have both the mid game with like at least with Link has the bow, and then he has the long game where he could throw the boomerang. He has bombs. It's kind of similar with Byleth, but hers are way more, I think, difficult to actually pull off.
Yeah, because so, where Link's bow, for example, is more controlled, you can't really control her bow. Like once you charge it, if you go on the full on charge, you can't move. Or if you just like tap the bow, you still get a two second lag before it actually fires. And that's where your creativity has to get in, because like I said, the spacing and the timing are what's important. So if you time it perfectly and space it correctly, then you can hit people with the bow. With Link, on the other hand, it's easy to like control how far your bow could go, you know, range-wise, and how powerful, and even like his neutrals that he lets out, they're a lot faster and a lot more variety compared to Byleth. Byleth has like maybe 2 or 3 neutrals that actually come out quick. I won't say 2, but one of them, the hitboxes is fairly small, and then the other one is your up tilt, which is, it's good for comboing, but if you miss that combo, and it's like, you know, you did like only minimal damage.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's gonna be interesting. I'm pretty excited to see if he'll actually take it to a tournament because I'm really intrigued by the character itself, and I want to see if he'll be able to do well with it. But something tells me that he's not gonna really take like a major tournament. He's not gonna take Byleth to a major tournament unless he is super confident. Like with Joker, it didn't take him very long to become good with the character. So when he started, like I think the very first tournament it was eligible to bring Joker to, he was just playing it. I don't think Leo is gonna do that unless some changes happen, or maybe he becomes very, very comfortable and brings it out in certain matchups. I just don't see it being like a character people are gonna main, though. It's a very, very difficult
The
character.
only time if ever it's gonna get mained, if it gets picked up by a somewhat decent person and actually does really well
Yeah,
in the
it has to
divisions,
place high.
it has to place high. And then people will start to notice, like, oh, you could actually do really well with this character. But if that doesn't happen, then it's gonna be like falling into that category of, like, let's say Zelda. Like, no one wants to, like, need Zelda because no one's ever really wanted Zelda.
Yeah. Yep.
I still believe. But yeah, those are just my thoughts on, like, some of the video games. Have you guys, like, played any? Oh, well, I don't know. Have you guys played any new games lately? You hear about that whole Pokemon Home thing, where you basically get all your Pokemon in one device, or you could carry it with your device on you on your phone from all the generations of Pokemon. Yeah, it's pretty dope.
I've heard about it. I know that there's a lot of controversy about it because of all the money you're gonna have to drop in order to like have all
No, it,
this.
well, it's free, but if you want more out of it, then you'd have to pay.
Yeah, I mean, I still have kind of a problem with it on, you know, multiple fronts. I mean, the idea itself, obviously, like who would hate the idea of being able to like transfer Pokemon that you've had for since your childhood into a game, you know, that you can have them on like one device and you can take them around with you and stuff like that. Obviously, that's cool, but you know, just the sort of like commodification of it, I guess I'm not too happy with or thrilled with, but like the idea itself, I mean, obviously if you're gonna have like millions of people potentially like have this, then you're gonna have to have some pretty servers and all that kind of thing to be able to host it all, and so it doesn't need to be paid for, but I don't know. I feel like the rollout of it was a little underwhelming for me. But that's just me. I mean, I know there are other people that feel that way, but I wouldn't say it's a majority. I would say most people probably are good with this, but I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it, but overall, I like the idea. I mean, the idea itself's not the problem I have with it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. You have a good point there. But yeah, I guess the idea is just the fact that you get out, like, every Pokemon you've ever caught. You could just, like, have it all on your phone, or you could download them to the new Shield game or something, or Sword game that you got, which is awesome. Yeah, granted, I'm not gonna spend a ton of money just to for that for those extra features, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. 'Cause I feel like if there wasn't that barrier in there, well, not everybody has a Switch. I'm pretty sure. Do they have it? Does the Pokemon Home, is it something that can be accessed with the 3DS?
You can't access it through the 3DS. Wait a minute. No, I don't think you can. but you can transfer your Pokemon
From there
by
to.
from other means necessary to there. Because when I was
Right.
talking to the Nintendo representative that came to our store, he basically said, as long as you're able to like get your Pokemon transferred on to home, then you should be able to, download your Pokemon that you have, and then you could also download it to your new game.
Okay, that's interesting.
Did you guys see the new Animal Crossing Switch release?
Yeah, I have a hot take about that.
Okay,
I
what's
didn't
your
see
hot take? Bruh, look it up real quick.
it.
It's adorable. I don't know, I like it. What do you think, Angie?
It's really cute, but I feel like they could have gone a lot harder with the design.
Oh, okay. So how so?
Well, I mean, the dock is obviously, the most, probably the most detailed part because it has the Nook kids on it. And I mean, it's really cute. The color scheme is nice. But, I just feel like they could have done something with the Joy-Cons. They could have added more colors, more designs.
Doesn't the Switch itself have like little designs on it, like embedded,
Yeah,
like the
the back plate has that little the little designs in it, but it's not noticeable unless you shine a light on it or something.
Yeah, that's true. It's kind of like a holographic holo foil, whatever it is.
Well, not even that. It's like it's just kind of embedded into the plastic. So, I mean,
Oh, is that what it is?
yeah. But yeah, I don't know. The Joy-Con colors aren't really anything special. I mean, you can find skins or shells online to
With the
add it.
setup that you got now, I don't know why you'd want to change. The first thing's pretty badass.
Oh, hell no. Yeah. I mean, I just modded mine, so yeah, I'm not selling my Switch or anything for that one. I know a lot of people are, though.
Really?
Yeah, they're getting rid of their launch day Switches in favor of the new one, but I heard that the original Switch is the only kind that can be that can be what's the term I'm looking for? Like hacked, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know how true that is, but I know a lot of people who are selling their Switch for the Animal Crossing one. You
I
look
was
in
think
Facebook Marketplace right now, I bet you'll find a ton of Switches for sale.
we should somehow figure a way where, you know how you got yours modded up, have some weird cool way to have our audiences get their Switch modded up for a certain discount. You feel me?
We'd have to
You feel
be
me,
a
Angie?
bigger podcast to be able to get that.
You feel me?
Yeah,
I feel you, though.
yep.
I feel you, homie.
Yeah, so I think we might be able to like offer services maybe down the line. I think that'd be something cool to consider, but we'll talk about that next episode or something. Go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna add really quick. I actually heard something about them like maybe having like another version of the Switch soon. I don't
Oh,
know if you
really?
guys heard. Yeah, like a more powerful version. I read an article the other day about it. I don't remember what the publication was, but I remember reading that there were different developers that were sort of discussing like porting certain games onto the Switch because they were sort of hearing that down the pike. There was another version of the Switch coming that was a little bit more, like a little bit faster, a little bit more processing power.
Interesting.
So yeah, and I think they were gonna, there was a discussion that I was gonna have like 1080p resolution on it as well. So
Hold on. Were you saying the Switch that we have now is not 1080?
I don't think so.
Really?
I'm pretty sure it's 720, dude.
No, it's gotta be 1080. I know it's not 4K or anything like that.
Well, it's definitely not 4K. Well, definitely not. It would be like a $400 system if it had that.
Okay, so we need to figure that out. That's really interesting.
But yeah, that's what I heard. It was going to have 1080, and then the processing power is going to be much stronger. Battery life was probably going to be a little longer. I don't remember where I read the article. But yeah, it was something very recent. I think it was last week that I read it. It was basically developers in the gaming industry were sort of discussing this. I would obviously consider getting a new one because I just have the plain black Switch. Yeah,
I like my plain. Well, I got the neon one, but yeah, I'll probably consider it. Dang it. I kind of want to switch lights though. No apparent reason.
I actually kind of want to get a Switch light too.
I don't see the need cute. For it though.
What'd you say, Angie?
They're very cute.
Oh, she said they're very cute. Okay.
Yeah. They're
very cute. I mean, they're slightly smaller than the original, but I mean, other than that, there's not really any reason why I would get one.
Yeah.
The reason why I would get one is because, like, I rarely play it in dock mode anyway. So, like, I play, the Pokemon game, and I play a Splatoon a lot in handheld mode. So,
how can you play Splatoon in handheld?
I don't know. It's just, like, that's how I kind of got wired. You know what it is?
That's crazy.
It's actually because I played Splatoon 1. And the Wii U, you always kind of had to like tilt the Wii pad anyway when you were playing, and so it's not really that different except the screen is now like on the pad itself instead of like me having to always look toward the TV. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. For me, it's not that big of a deal, but for other people I know, it's like a huge deal. They're like, what the hell is wrong with you? You're like a weird person for being able to play it like that. Because most people need to have like the controller so that they can play Splatoon.
Yeah, there are a few games I'd play it on dock, but I play mine mostly dock. That's why I don't really see the need for a light. But in the same sense, it's like if I want to play it on dock, I could just take the Switch off the dock and play it.
The even weirder part for me is that like even though I play it mostly undocked, it's not like I take it with me everywhere either. It's mostly that I undock it, but I'm in my room or around the house somewhere.
The only time I really undock it is if my roommate has guests over and they're watching the TV. So I take it and then I just connect a Pro controller to it. And I just use the controller. I don't even use the little Joy-Con controllers. I'm like, I can't do this. Yeah. So I literally just play it that way.
Yeah, I'm strange.
No. You're using it to its full capacity. You're one of those people that actually uses the Switch how it's supposed to be intended to be used. Well, at least, one of the ways to be intended.
Yeah, it's mostly one of the ways.
So, for you guys, what would you say, what classic Nintendo game would you like to see on the Switch that hasn't been re-released or in the eShop that you'd love to see make a comeback? Any Nintendo game from the past.
Oh, go ahead, Angie.
Oh, man. Probably for me, I think it would be... Harvest Moon, A Wonderful Life, or Sonic Adventure 2 Battle.
Those are good.
I was not expecting either of those answers.
Those are good ones.
I fucking miss the GameCube era so much.
I do too, man.
Double Dash.
A Double Dash? Oh my god.
I'll say it. The GameCube is the best Nintendo system they ever made.
Yes,
say it.
thank you.
Yeah,
thank
the
you.
Games on that. What was? Yeah. Okay, I
Hot
agree.
Take.
100%.
Yeah, most of those games I miss. Like, a lot of the games on the Switch is really fun and really cool, and it's getting there, but come on, you can't beat a lot of the games that was on the GameCube. That was, like, the first console I actually bought with my own money.
The one that, the, actually, the first one that I bought with my own money was the Wii. And even though I loved the Wii, and I played the hell out of it, like, there were a lot of great games on the Wii, the GameCube, to me, had some of the games that, like, I mean, the 64 was obviously one that I played a shit ton too as a kid, but the GameCube I have like great memories with. Like, not only did I, you know, me and my brother play a ton of games on there, like Double Dash and, you know, like Twilight Princess.
Oh, yeah.
You know, shoot, I'm blanking on the Mario game. Really
Mario
quick.
Party 4.
Mario Party, yeah,
Mario
the
Party
Mario Party 4. Games were super
good.
That's
probably the best Mario Party.
But like, just the experiences I had with like my friends coming over or me bringing a game over to their house. Like, I did that with Mango and Anji. I did that with, you know, one of my best friends as well. Like, and his little brother. They would come over and we would like have times where all we did was just play all day on the GameCube, and we were playing like Double Dash and Super Monkey Ball and, you know, like all those kind of games. So like that console to me will always be just, you know, I think it's the best console that Nintendo's ever made, quite honestly. Like, it had great games.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. That's a good one.
Yeah, 100% my favorite console.
So how about you, Yami? What would you say your game would you'd want to be ported that the Switch has not yet done?
I would say I would want them to do, if not a new entry of Golden Sun, just remake the first two.
Golden Sun, the one for Game Boy Advance.
If they can't do like a remake that has like both parts 1 and 2 in like one game, just like make a new entry. But that's what I
Would you like it to be like the 2D fashion, like how it is, or would you like to have it a remaking Final Fantasy VII, like just, you know, recreate everything in a 3D?
That's interesting. I would say I would want it to be remodeled.
Remodeled?
Like, similar-ish to what they did with Link's Awakening, where they kind of... Because Link's Awakening was, you know, a Game Boy game. Well, they remade it twice, but, like, it was basically a 2D game, and they remade it into a 3D game. So I would want it to be like that, where they remake it and make the models 3D.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very, very
But that's
cool.
What I would want them to do is Golden Sun. For sure.
I love these choices. Personally, me, I would have to say Donkey Kong 64.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Donkey Kong 64. I had so many good memories with that, especially on multiplayer.
Me too, yeah.
Yeah, multiplayer Donkey Kong 64 was so hype.
Anji, did you ever play that with him, like when you guys were little?
Yes, I think I was probably 6 or 7 at the time, but
dang.
I remember the the rage everyone would feel.
we had the special Nintendo 64 growing up. We had the Donkey Kong version. It came with the yellow cartridge, and it was a clear
I did too
Nintendo. Yeah,
yeah.
Oh my goodness. that game is so like so fun.
Yeah, me and my brother, we would play the multiplayer between ourselves, and then obviously we would always love it when we got to play with like other kids, and they would come over, and we would usually do like teams as well, like you know he and I would be on a team, and then the other kids would be on the other, and we would just like tag team, and then you know, if we needed to kill each other at the very end, we'd do that. but it was basically like a like a truce up until the end.
Well, that's nice. We yeah. didn't do that.
It was just Bloodsport.
Oh man. Okay. Well, it's pretty much about that time. Did you guys want to add anything else?
No, I mean, that's pretty much it.
I didn't really have anything to add.
Nice. Okay, well, before we go, I do want to have a little competition. I want you, without using your phones or internet, just like both of you at the same time, to name all the Donkey Kong characters in Donkey Kong 64 that you could play.
I know it's like the back of my hand. Are you kidding me?
Okay, well, let's go. All three of us, okay? Here we go. Starting with Donkey Kong.
The five characters, right?
Yeah, there's five characters.
Oh, yeah. So it's okay. Donkey Kong.
No! Wait! I'm gonna count us down. We're gonna go at the same time. Okay. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Donkey Kong,
Tiny, Chunky, Wanky,
Funky. The girl. What's her name? Candy? No, that's the other one.
I thought we were just doing the five main ones.
Yeah. No, we are. So okay. So who won? I think I want to say I did. Won.
I don't
know. I didn't even hear you say anything.
I think Yami said more than I did.
I sped through.
Oh, you did? You just finished early?
Yeah.
I forgot the
I named like
fucker's name.
Lanky.
So wait, who was I missing? Because I said Donkey, Dee Dee, Tiny, Lanky, Funky?
Chunky.
Oh, that was all of them. Okay.
Chunky. Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah, so you got them all. Okay, I was the only one who lost. I only named three of them.
Funky is the guy that you get your ammo from.
That's right. All right, that was fun. All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening to our pod. Hopefully you guys tune in next time. Next episode is going to be our last episode. It's going to be more of a rehash of how our podcast, or like our reflection on our podcast of what we've done this whole season. How we feel about it, what we could do to move on forward, and what we could do more for you guys, our listeners, our thanks and our appreciations, obviously. And yeah, but for this episode, thank you again so much for listening. I'm your host, Mango, and we've also got...
Anji.
Yeah, man.
All right, guys, we'll catch you on the last episode. Bye.
Peace out, y'all.